Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is the day you've been waiting for. It's Tuesday. We're back with the boys, the Brilliantly Dumb Show. We have a hell of an episode in store for you today. You can imagine where this one goes, I'm sure. But the boys were rocking today, and we want you to take 1 second, just take 1 second out of your time to click, smash, and hit that like, subscribe button. Hit that subscribe button. We're on the road to 100K. We've eclipsed 100K on the Instagram, but it's important for us to get there on the YouTube. And with you guys, we will get there. So like Bob likes to say, a moment of silence, 5 seconds for the subscribe smashing vibe. Enjoy the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Here we are. I will say probably the most highly anticipated Brilliantly Dumb Show we've ever done. Packers Bears last night. We are here Sunday morning. A lot happened that game. Fellas, you take it away. I don't know what to say.
Well, you're not texting the group text this morning. What are you shutting off communications, Joe? You're not gonna talk anymore. We're not gonna have any conversations like this morning.
Morning. So I'm getting ready to record the podcast. My child was up all fucking night. I slept through. Here's the obnoxious behavior that we are going to get.
Oh, because your behavior last night wasn't obnoxious on the stream, on the stories. That wasn't obnoxious.
I have never in my life met an entire fucking fan base of people who have never been there before and sure as hell act like it.
Go ahead,
and
Joe.
You might be one of the biggest, Michael.
Yep.
You might be one of the biggest. And you know what? I want so badly to see you succeed and to see good things happen to you and to see you as a fan of a team be rewarded. Mm-hmm. But then you act like a total buffoon.
Okay.
And then I am brought back to the position where it's like, you know what? All the misery, all the suffering that you and every other Bears fan has had, it's deserved. And it will continue because this team is not going to win a Super Bowl. I said to you before the game, neither the Packers nor the Bears were going to do anything more than win this game. And the Eagles are going to win today. They're going to dog race you guys. It's
boat race, by the way. Stop fucking up the sayings.
I like dog race.
Dog race makes no sense.
I'm going to stick with dog race. By the way, when the Packers lost, I was gracious. I texted you, congrats on the W.
Joe,
and then I got to see this guy was being hoisted up like he just won the fucking Super Bowl by his cast of minions who are texting me, fuck you. I have to see Mikey V in front of a fucking auditorium of people saying, fuck Joey. I would never in my wildest dreams would I say that. And there's some things that are bigger than
me. Joe, let me say something to you, okay? You were very gracious. You were gracious before the game. You were gracious after the game. But you act like what you do in the middle of it, you must act like, number one, I'm not going to see it, or number two, I'm a fucking idiot.
I don't care if you see it. I don't think I said or did anything disrespectful. I'm allowed to cheer and enjoy my
cheer. Joe, you were laughing. You were laughing and scoffing at the whole game. You were like, this is a joke, and this game is over, and this game, and that game. You didn't, I mean, are we being serious? Are we going to seriously, like, talk about how you were during the game? Like, you weren't, so according to you, you were fine during the game. You did nothing that was obnoxious. Everything you did was of a real fan just cheering.
I definitely didn't say fuck Mikey, and that's when it gets personal.
What, you didn't say anything about me in the stream? You didn't say anything about me in the stream?
I said that Mikey's praying to his ancestors that the Bears will win or something.
Praying to my ancestors, okay.
By the way, for a guy who's 6'7", you act like a little child with this reverse jinxing, blabbering, oh, our season's over, it's the same thing over and over again. Yeah, you can only pull that card so many times, Michael.
Worked like a charm.
You know what?
Reverse mush.
If you were like a cat, you've used all your nine lives. So
maybe
I'd be
so.
Watching my corner,
but here's the thing. If my last life was last night, I could go to bed happy.
But
I'm
that's
good.
The problem with the Bears. That was
I know.
Their Super Bowl.
You're
because
right.
Because they're not going to win another game.
You're
and
right.
they're not going to win a Super Bowl.
You're
so
right.
I, by the way, everybody who messaged me, and I had tens of thousands of DMs, it seemed
well,
like.
What do you everybody. Expect?
I was classy. I said, congrats on the W. And in the live after the game, I actually went on there and said, you know what? I'm happy for the Bears. I would love to take that back because the
take it back. Take it back right here.
And it starts and ends with Ben Johnson. This guy is a piece of shit.
How so?
How
what
so?
The fuck did Ben Johnson do? What the this fuck does this have to do with Ben Johnson?
Public enemy number one. And I
how? Why? What did he do?
What do you mean what he did? He went in the locker room. He said, fuck the Packers.
Yeah, that's right. Good for him.
He is classless, and this organization has followed suit. Yeah. And Bob, by the way, I don't even know what to say. I had to wake up at 3 a.m. to Bear Down announcing to his fucking thousands of minions that he will have to address on the podcast the fact that I had fun and that I was laughing in a story. It's unbelievable that just act like you've been there before once.
I'll say one thing. Number one, I haven't been there before.
I know.
So that's the first thing. Second thing, I think your pod setup today is better than what it normally is. I think this is a better spot for you instead of in front of the blinds. So I do think this is a good setup. I like the ficus. I love you. I want to just say that. I love you genuinely.
I told you before the game that I said best of luck, whoever wins. And I
said it back to you, Joe. This is not, but during the game, I said nothing at all. I didn't say anything during the entire game. And I had to watch story after story after story, comment after comment. I heard about it from the stream.
Called just content, you, Michael. Just,
okay, it's called, okay. But that glove has to fit both ways, Joe.
But I didn't come at you personally and say, fuck this guy. I didn't have Joe, fucking minions go say, fuck Mikey Bear Down, cuz I had to watch Austin Carver, who's not even a Bears fan, by the way. This guy's a fucking moron. Go and fucking buy you a hockey jersey and then fucking send me a video.
Nice
say,
jersey,
fuck
by
you.
The way.
Oh, that nice thing jersey. Is fucking $12 at the sick. Salvation Army.
It was a pretty sick jersey, bro.
But this is my point. It's like he's not even a Bears fan, as neither are 90% of these guys, and they're saying, fuck you, fuck off, you're a fucking loser. I don't need that. I'm a father in my life. I'm not coming at people personally. I don't need that shit. I don't need to be looking over my fucking shoulder because some fucking cast of cronies
looking
over
Joe,
there
Joe,
fucking
you're,
going
the, you're, the st- you're the star of a whole YouTube series of people who
no
hate
star,
you.
Dog.
You are. You are a star. No, you are. You, let's establish that first and foremost. You are a star. Let's establish that first and foremost. And you're
the star
of a series that involves people that just the genesis, the center of the series revolves around people that hate you. And it's a great series. I watched the Joe vs. Schmo this week.
Great series.
You know what? I could care less. I'm not here. My life has become the Truman Show, and I don't give a fuck. I am a polarizing guy. I wear my heart on my sleeve. But you know what? People come and judge me
but
all
that's
the time. They don't know shit.
But let me tell you something, Joe. Because you're not, you know what the thing is? You're not used to this. The Packers never lose in a situation like this, ever.
Michael,
the Bears
the
lose in situations like
last
this.
Last night, I wouldn't wish that upon my worst enemy. And I had to watch it happen twice in the span of a fucking month. This team has found ways to break my heart in so many fucking different ways. I've had to watch countless onside kicks. I've had to watch countless. This special teams on this fucking football team doesn't exist. McManus should be ashamed. He should have to walk back to fucking Green Bay after that performance.
Well, look, 21-3 at halftime, getting the ball back, there's no way you should lose. There's no way you should lose.
It should have been 22-16 with 4 minutes left. It should have been over at that point.
Did you know too? What I think about is that like 4th and 9, I think it was with Caleb when he scrambled
to it,
and he just chucked it up. I mean, like even that too. D, the only time was it directs fucks you? Was it a camera on fuck you, Joe?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Sent a video. Personal selfie thing. Fuck you. Like
people weren't happy with Joe last night. They weren't.
Oh,
weren't
I don't happy. Give a shit. You come for blood, you're gonna get it.
All right.
And by the way, I thought I was kind of nice to most of these guys. I've never been an asshole to them.
No, never. never.
And you know what? That's good because I don't need a hockey jersey. I've got plenty.
I mean, come on, Joe. Can I
give you I'm not doing it by any means because I did. Let me tell you something, man. If the Yankees lost in that fashion,
I'm
fair. An only sub walked in last night to the meeting with a Red Sox hat on. I said, this is, come on, bro. What is this?
I thought about Joe. I truly did. I felt terrible because, first off, if I can throw my hat in the ring,
sure.
I have lost a substantial amount of money these last few weeks. I am the coldest guy. I am bad. But Joe, we do just have to play the clip. The clip was going around everywhere. We have to play it on the show. This was Joe at halftime that we're going to play here.
This might be the most fun I have had all year. Oh, my God. They are panning it on to all the Bears fans at Soldier Field. They are getting dog raced. 21-3. I don't even think the miracle of all miracles can bring this team back. Jordan Love has all the time in the world. This guy came and he's coming for blood. He didn't forget that they knocked him out 2-3 weeks ago. He didn't forget that this team tried to headhunt. He remembered it's the Bears are still owned by the Packers. 21-3. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but my God, how can you not? What an absolutely electric start. We get the ball at half. Caleb Williams pouting on the sidelines. Ben Johnson is in shambles, imploding before our very eyes. This is worth the price of admission, folks.
Oh, he was insufferable.
This is worth the price of admission, folks.
Wait, who is insufferable?
Caleb Williams.
You know what, bro? This is.
I will say he played great in the fourth quarter.
This is the sickest fucking thing I've ever listened to. Caleb was insufferable. Ben Johnson's public enemy number one.
I said Ben Johnson.
The Bears are still owned by the Packers. I mean, come on, man. What are we talking about? What are we talking about?
I will say this: last night undid a lot of the ownage. It really did.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
But I have Bears fans saying it was the biggest win in the history of their branch.
It might, Joe, honestly, besides the Super Bowl, it might have been, honestly.
The NFC Championship win will always go down as
I
the
was there
win.
For the NFC Championship game. I wasn't there, but I mean, I remember watching that 2006 NFC Championship game. I got to tell you, it didn't hit nearly as hard as this game hit. Not even remotely close.
This is your guys' Super Bowl. That's why.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right. Bobby's right. He's right in what he's saying. He's 100% right. The problem is the acceptance of that. I don't think he's dealing with that well. I don't think he is. Respectfully.
What's your response to that?
Well, response to what? That I'm accepting one of the most excruciatingly painful losses of my life? That I'm accepting now, it in gracious form?
Of your life?
That loss will go down.
Was that the worst?
The worst Canucks. Is the NFC Championship to the Seahawks, where they bumbled the fucking onside kick, and they were a play away from going to the Super Bowl. I've watched this team lose. I mean, as good as they have been, I've watched some of the most painful, most insufferable losses of all time. And it's not. This is not a woe is me. I'm a big boy. I can handle a fucking loss. It's at the end of the day, I got a wonderful family. I got an incredible life. This isn't going to define me. But it was a let's call a spade a spade. It was a fucking brutal night to lose to our biggest rival in the way that we did, in the fashion that we did, and to see it coming. And by the way, I hit plus 950 live for a whole lot, and I would have fucking rather watched that money burned to the ground.
I lost a ton of money on an emotional hedge last night.
But you would have taken it, I'm sure.
Do you think it made it harder with it being that it was only subs night?
What do you mean?
Like, just because then he had to see the videos that it made it worse that they were coming at you?
Oh, dude, it was a miserable first half, bro. Like, I was just sitting there. I was like, but I mean, I really did, like, honestly, like, all things aside, all bullshitting aside, like, if you took me as a non-biased outsider opinion gambler, I would tell you, like, the play last night was to take Green Bay. Like, that would have been what I told you to do. Obviously, I was rooting for the Bears. I put out Bears money line parlay with the Rams money line. But I said, this is an emotional play. I said, it's not like, I wouldn't recommend doing it because I thought the Packers really would win the game. I really did because I'm so used to losing to this team. Like Joe said, it's true. That's a true statement.
Yeah. You know, with Joe's case too, I've been there where like the Yankees have pounced on the Sox or something and I've put a story out
Yeah.
And then you're just watching it crumble. Like when
especially in those games, it always feels like it's like a fucking, it's like a sideshow, those games. Like they end up being 8-9. Like those games finish 10-8 or the Yankees Red Sox game, 8-7. You know, it's like it's never like, it's very rarely like 3-0 or 4-2.
It's never, nothing is ever easy, it seems. It's especially the way the NFL works this year. But I will say this Packers team has blown so many leads this year. The coaching that Matt LaFleur, and I think he is a good coach, but they need to move on from this guy. It's just not. I'm at the point now. I mean, Mikey, he can't close. This isn't like, oh, we lost one time like this. This is twice in a month to the same fucking team. You gotta be better. They did the same thing to the Browns. They did the same thing. They have blown countless leads. And by the way, his contract is going to be up. So it's not like I'm saying, oh, we got to fire him in the middle. I just think we got to move on. And maybe we bring in a guy like Stefanski, or maybe we bring in a guy like Harbaugh. I don't know. But we cannot, that we have now set the precedent, and Ben Johnson and this Bears team now, they believe that they own Matt LaFleur. And they actually do. After the last two games, the way that they've gone down, you can't come back from that.
The thing with a guy like LaFleur, Bob, and you know this too, like, he's the type of guy, like, if you fire Matt LaFleur today, he's going to get hired instantly.
For sure.
Like, he will get hired instantly by somebody. Well, like, it's the same with Harbaugh. Like, as soon as Harbaugh got fired, it was like, he moves to the top of the list of everybody's, you know, coaching hires. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not going to say he's a bad coach. He just cannot win the big game when we need him. They cannot close, and this is becoming an issue. And of course, Jordan Love and these guys are going to say, I played for my coach. And by the way, I thought Jordan Love actually played very well last night. I wouldn't pin him. You can't tell me that a defensive team – you can't get a defensive stop. You let up 25 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You have a kicker who misses an extra point, who misses up two field goals. I mean, the 55-yarder, sure, but the 47-yarder, it wasn't even close.
Mike,
it's brutal.
First off, I don't know what their original beef was, but my Ben Johnson issue, though
– is with LaFleur,
that,
I know.
The handshake is like – LaFleur did go in – I mean – that is a time where 99% of coaches, whatever bad blood there is, when the game's over, you won the game. As fired up as you are, that's fine. You give them a good handshake, and then you go, and then you say whatever you say. The handshake drives me nuts because he did that to him before.
LaFleur did do it a little bit too, as well, to play devil's advocate the first time. It wasn't as bad as last
I don't know
night.
What
that
the
was.
Fuck. I don't know what goes on between these two guys. I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I don't know if they're from the same coaching tree. I don't know their history before they were with. Obviously,
they hate each other.
I don't really know. I couldn't tell you. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I have so much I want to talk about other things too. Like, I want to talk about Bobby's Hurricanes national championship. I want to talk about. There's a lot of things on the table. It was a fucking
Bob. Imagine,
nutty
imagine
week.
The Hurricanes losing like in the way that we did last. Imagine like, and you just are so invested. It's like I would have much rather had Mikey's Bears just beat us by 14 points right out of the gate, and we'd never had a chance.
Too, you know, it's not like you guys lost to the Vikings. It was the Bears. It was our Red Sox. It was the worst way. Crazy. I mean, just absolutely crazy. So yeah, no, I get it. I absolutely get it. Me and my dad may or may not be going to the national championship, Mikey. I still have to let you know on that front.
Yep.
We have a shoot that we were supposed to have dinner with, so we were trying to get that whole thing.
Oh,
but
that's right.
Yeah. So I'll still
wait. You should
go. I should. My dad said, he's like, when else are we going to get this chance?
He's right. And I did it last year. It cost me a lot of money, but it was a memory that'll be etched into my brain for the rest of my life.
Bob, it's something with your dad. I mean, I know you're not normally a fan of going to games and stuff, but this is different. This is
They're at home. It's a home game.
I know.
Sick. Yeah. But
so
Indiana,
awesome.
By the way, they need it. First off, those Indiana fans traveled. They looked like an Indiana home game against Oregon. I mean, that was crazy. And these guys, they are good. But I doubted Miami. I mean, I shat on Miami they lost that game to SMU.
Yep.
They can beat anybody. They're not going to get bullied on the line, which I really, really like. Indiana's the clear favorite. I think it's 7.5 right now. But after seeing Miami beat Ohio State, they can beat anybody.
They can beat anybody. I mean, look, they run the ball and they play defense. And when you run the ball and play defense, you could hang with anybody. I mean, look, Indiana to me looks like
Cignetti looks like Rain Man.
He does. And I think he's cracked the code, man. I really think he has. Like, Oregon had 55 four or five star players on that roster the other night. 55. Indiana had 8 four star players. That's it. But they have 23-year-old men starting at every position. They just have all these veterans from the portal starting at every position. It's literally, he does a man versus boys approach where he has all these seasoned veteran guys playing against young kids. That's what it, and you could see the way they play. Like, Surratt just bullies. He bullies guys when he catches the ball. He fucking bullies people. Their defense, it's just crazy in Oregon, by the way. Oregon. The Duck fans need to just, they got to pump the brakes on everything, because this is another fan base, by the way. At the beginning of the, they chirp so much, Oregon fans, and again, they get boat raced in a playoff game. Again, boat
raced. Or you can say dog raced. You can feel free to say dog raced.
Yeah, they got dog raced. In the words of Joey D, they got dog raced.
When Petey said that, that was the moment where, when Petey said they are getting dog raced, I started cracking up.
Yeah.
The now, dog came back to bite us.
I would be curious to take a text to me last night. He's like, dude, he's like, Joe's DMs have to be just awful. Like,
I'm telling you, thousands.
Well, and was it just brutal? Was it just
to be honest? I went through and my go-to line from I did respond to a lot of people because I wasn't just gonna hide, but my go-to line was like, congrats on the dub. And then for people who were just, some people were just obnoxious, I said, stay classy, San Diego. Congrats on the dub. And that was it. And you know what? There was, I will say, there was a handful of people who actually were like gracious Bears fans. And I said, you know what? It's refreshing to see amongst a sea of complete idiocy that there are some actual like classy individuals. And I actually would respond to them. And I said, you know what? I think this partially, Bob, this is like a fan base that has been beaten to a pulp by the hands of the Packers. We're talking about a decade of losing.
He's not wrong, Bob.
A decade of losing that has just become an emotional roller coaster to like, then it's like, as a Packers fan, you're public enemy number one. Even if you're a good guy, you're a piece of shit.
A great guy.
Yeah,
That's arguable.
A great
Michael.
Guy.
The best was
not in my eyes. It's not arguable.
In that cutting spiel, the Iceman shirt has to be tough. The Iceman shirt has to be so tough.
And the classic only sub purchase.
No, I bought this. I thought this was great. I didn't actually buy it. Company sent it to me overnight so I could have it in time for the meetup. Shout out whoever sent this. Thank you.
To be honest, it's kind of a cool shirt. I'd say
thank you, Joseph. Thank you.
The best was in Cutsy's story. Like, he goes on that rant, and then on like the 50, you know, you have a minute to a story, like the 55th second, he goes, now I don't want to get ahead of myself because we got to.
To be honest, I will say I thought I actually turned the series of stories into a very comical.
It was,
you know,
Joe, it was excellent. Very funny. It was excellent.
And by doing that, I feel like I got ahead of a lot more that I would have. A lot of people found the humor. And you know, it is what it is, but it's just it's tough for me because I really want to root for Mikey and see him like. I want to see him succeed, but it's just this Bears team is just I'm so torn because I would love to see them win for Mikey, for his personal when Ohio State won, I was happy for him, but it's just like I don't know if I can.
You don't have to root for the Bears. I get it. Now, and by the way, I would hold no like ill will. If you were like, I want the Eagles to beat them or I want San Francisco to beat them next week, I get it. Yeah. And by the way, I said it to Bob. I said the only thing, if we could beat the Packers, it's house money. Because number one, I didn't expect to make the playoffs this year. Number two, I sure as shit didn't expect to have home field and win a game. And especially not against a team we always lose against. So for me, for Bears fans, it's house money now. Like
if the Niners win, you guys can win this that game. If
I don't think we can beat the Eagles again.
I think the Eagles will walk you guys. I don't know.
Ticket calls me crazy. I still think that the Eagles on paper are the best team.
Bob, I know you hate Sirianni. Would you if it was Eagles Bears? Like, where are you? What are you cheering for at that point?
There's no way you think Johnson.
I got to be honest. I'm rooting for Sam Darnold and the Seahawks at this point right now. I really am.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. That's your guy. I get that.
I do. I think he's just been classless. Now, I don't like either. And Lord knows with Sirianni, you got to get then Big Dom as well.
Oh, you got Big Dom. You got
the airtime there. It's more of a combo with Sirianni and Big Dom. You know what I mean?
But ketchup and mustard, Bob.
Big Dom knows when that camera's coming. And once that camera's there, he goes right on over to you. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He feels it.
The gravitational pull.
Yeah.
I liked how, by the way, the Miami game, I want to say that. I liked Irvin. Was Irvin not on the sideline?
Oh, he was there.
Yeah. He was on the sideline? He was
doing the belt to asshole game.
I saw the belt.
Bob has come around on him now.
I'm trying to come around. Joe told me he doesn't have social media. I respected that.
I looked him up. He has no Instagram.
I didn't see him often on the. I did not. They didn't pan to him on the sideline nearly as much as they had for the other games.
He was there every
time. Yeah. Turn. Okay.
But to be honest, Bob, his antics are helping the team win.
I saw the belt to ass thing, which, by the way, in a game like that makes no sense whatsoever. Like, it was a nail biting game.
Threw it over a garbage can.
Look. Bob, let me ask you this. Was that a ball don't lie moment, the last play? Shambliss's Hail Mary, was that because Miami lost 2002 national title to Ohio State, much controversial pass interference call in the end zone. And then that last play, here's my thing. The Hail Mary, I think it's just precedent that they just don't call pass interferences on Hail Mary. Because if you look at the play, I mean, he got tugged. There's no doubt about it in my mind. But again, you can't call that. It feels like nobody calls that in that spot.
Yeah. Also,
it felt like a ball don't lie moment to me.
It is different in the NFL. The NFL, then it's like, okay, then they're on the one. I mean, Ole Miss was on like the 35, but then they would have gone to the 20. And then you still have to do kind of the same thing again.
Yep.
But honestly, I saw Ole Miss fans complaining about flags. There was a ton of flags that Miami didn't get their way. That was infuriating.
Those refs were terrible in general.
It was awful across the board. Yeah, it was really, really bad. So, I understand it. But it's not like it would have gone to the one and then it's like completing a two-point conversion. They would have been on the 20 and then it's still hard. But, I guess with the Irving thing, it is true. Winning just cures all. And now that they're winning, it's easier to take for sure.
But it's also I don't think Bob's dad is out on Michael Irvin. So that helps.
That helped. Yeah, it did.
As well.
Yeah, it did. It did. He's like it helps with the recruiting. And I was like, all right, because I thought my dad was gonna like not be able to stand it. I thought he'd be like, it's ridiculous, blah blah blah. my dad's thing is, and this is like a thing I think for a lot of dads, he'll just send me clips of traveling calls on NBA that weren't called that would have been called back in the day. Like he sent me three clips. It's like the difference between traveling called in like the 60s compared to now, and it's like Giannis taking like five steps. It's like, all right, dad, like what? What do you want me to do? That's like a classic older generation. Like, you know, back in our day, the traveling, they love
a guy who just cares about the integrity of the game.
Yes. The standards have dropped.
Yeah. All right. D-Man, I saw you had the bagel place. We're not going to call them out because we're going to respect the game.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah. Well,
wait, what?
So there's a new bagel place in Palm Beach that is like the spot. Like every day they are just lying out the door. So Petey had it. Their bagel isn't that great.
I can tell. Bob, you see the photo? I mean, I guess you can't put the photo up because
it's way too much cream cheese.
But it was not. So I wanted to do some recon. I ordered a cream cheese everything toasted bagel. Ooh. And then I ordered like a Taylor ham. Egg and cheese like bagel sandwich, and I sent Bob pictures of both. Just and trying to be objective because I do think that Bob Does Bagels is going to take over you know, the Southern Hemisphere. And I do believe it's going to be the biggest thing since sliced bread. But I wanted to see, okay, if these are our direct competitors, you know, where do we stand? Like what are we up against? And I got to tell you, I'm not calling anything out. It could be by the way, there's a few different spots, so it could be a variety of places.
Correct.
But this place for sure is not going to test it's not going to even begin to test what we got cooking. It's actually reassuring. And I'm now going to put even more money into this business because I think we are going to print. I really do.
Yeah.
There's a changing of the guard and it's coming in South Florida in the form of a bagel.
I completely agree. Real quick, ladies and gentlemen, want to let you know that the Braylon the Dumb Show is brought to you by the fine folks over at ZocDoc. ZocDoc is a free app and website that helps you find and book high-quality in-network doctors so you can find someone you love. We're talking about booking in-network appointments with more than 150,000 providers across all 50 states. Whether you're looking for dermatology, dentistry, primary care, eye care, or one of the other 200-plus specialties offered in ZocDoc, you can easily search by specialty or symptom to build the care team that's right for you. When you're ready, you can see real-time availability and click to book instantly. No phone tag, no waiting around. ZocDoc has got you covered. Stop putting off doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/BeDumb to find and instantly book a doctor you love today. That's ZocDoc.com/BDUMB. ZocDoc.com/BeDumb. Thanks, ZocDoc, for sponsoring this message. Moving right along here. We want to talk about a little bit another thing swept up. Mikey had mentioned it prior. Mikey, did you get a chance to take a look into Cutsy's Haters?
I had a chance, all right, Bob.
I would love to see you watching that.
Yeah, I thought that the big clip that you guys put on the it was Bob Does Sports, where Joe calls the guy Stone Cold Steve Austin was one of the funnier clips. Because number one, calling someone Joe, you gave the guy credit. You call him Stone Cold Steve Austin. That's a compliment. It used to be a bit. That's a compliment. Like you call the guy Stone. Stone Cold was a cool motherfucker back in the day. Yeah, like that's a cool thing. No. Yeah, he was awesome. So when Joe called him that, I was like, why the fuck would he call this fucking dweeb
Stone Cold? I think I said, and I could be corrected. I think I said, you think you're Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, that may be.
And I hope so, because if I actually did call him Stone Cold, then yeah, that's kind of not what I was going for, but. Yeah. And by the way, I played the worst golf of my fucking life in that video. I talked to Melosi. He plays out there. He said it's one of the hardest courses, by the way,
really
to play.
Tough.
And for my game and how sporadic my drive can go, it was just the worst case scenario for me from the start.
What bothered me with this guy? He messaged me after on the Instagram and he's like, no tag. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean tag? He's like, on the YouTube, no tag. I'm like, tag on the YouTube, like put your link to the bottom of the description or whatever.
It doesn't even have a YouTube channel.
And then he was okay, fine. So be it. But then he messaged me. He's like, here's what we're going to do. He's like, next match 2v2. We're going to bring in Dodd King. I'm like, yo, with all due respect, like, thank you for coming. We are very complimentary of him coming. That's what makes a series a series. You don't call the shots on the format.
Bob, I was thinking about doing a rematch that just completely derails it at that point.
Yeah, it's like, bro, thank you for your coming channel. On, but you're not going to tell us what the format is.
Yeah,
now, Joe has mentioned, and I told him this, I said, look, if Joe wants to have you back, it's his call. He's mentioned having you back. If he decides he's going to have you back, that's his call. It's not my call.
But, like, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't, like, does this guy have a personality on?
No,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't think that was the purpose.
People were saying too, just like how much of like a dick he was. What I didn't appreciate was people were saying to me that I was cold to him in the cart, which I really didn't think was the case. I wouldn't want any guest to be uncomfortable. But at the same time, you got to remember, like, this is a guy who's continues to talk shit to my guy. So it's not like we're going to be like best buddies by any means.
Well, right, you know what bothered me too is questioning me as a person. That's like, you could say, oh, I don't like this guy, the way he acts on the golf course, or he's a clown. But you start like, just like basically saying I'm a huge fan of the show, but this guy is not a good person. He's this, he's that. And then the fact that I laugh in a way that bothers him, it's like this guy was chewing gum like he was a fucking cow in the middle of the cart. It's like, well, bro.
Yeah, I will say though, and Mike, you talk, correct me if I'm wrong, but I do think he was the perfect guest to have. Like, you know, and I told him before when you have the Zoom call, like, you don't want it to be buddy-buddy. And he was really good with that. He chirped. He didn't go anything personal, which we appreciate. Can't have any of that. But that's the type of guest that we want. So I will give him credit that he was a very perfect guest. And if Joe decides to have him back on, I do think it'd be a good guy to run back. But if you think he's bad, wait till you see who you have next. I'm just going to keep pumping
it's
this.
Even worse.
Is it really? How could it be worse than that? That guy was
This is the kind of shit that I got.
Times 10?
I was getting annoyed with this guy. I had enough with him near the end. He got so hammered.
So how was it when it was all over, and obviously it didn't work out the way we wanted it to work out, but like, how was he at, like, once the cameras were shut off, was he like,
he asked for a photo, and to be honest, it was cordial. It wasn't like, you know, at the end of the day, we're filming a series, a TV show, essentially, whatever you want to call it. Correct. So, you know, there's, you know, built up animosity at the thing. But at the end of the day, like, I actually went up to him. I shook his hand and said, thanks for coming up.
Was he fine at the end, Joe?
It was fine. Okay. It was. All right. I think the thing is that, like, you know, it does take a lot of guts to come on the show because you're kind of putting yourself in a very vulnerable position. And I acknowledge that. And by the way that I am, I'm not going to hold back. Like, you know, Riggs from Foreplay, he does the Hater series, and it's a great series. They, you know, kudos to them. They started something that gave us the idea, and I'll give them kudos for that. But in many ways, he's very much very cordial throughout with the guests. Like, he's very, just doesn't really chirp them too much. He's very kind. And to me, that's just not how I'm going to be. If you're going to keyboard warrior, come at me countless times, question me, call me out, then it's game on, you know? And case in point, it just was at your throat. But it's a series that's going to go for a long time because I got a fucking long list of people who just want to absolutely eviscerate me. So
yeah, I need that next guy, D. And look, if you think that was bad, I got this video coming out with Grant. That's probably the worst I've ever played, and I know how big of a statement that is. Just
was that when he played with only a 7-iron or no?
Yeah, oh, I
yeah.
No,
it sucks though when you play bad. It does suck because it's on camera and you're going to get trash talked. But when you're playing against a guy that you cannot stand and you're trying to win, it makes it 10 times worse. And I think, to be honest, what part of my problem that day is I just couldn't get out of my own way. I kept trying to focus on beating him instead of just playing and focusing on my game. And it was, you know, mentally, I am one of the weakest to ever do it. I am an absolute train. Bob, I played yesterday with a sports psychologist who was a sports psychologist for the Chicago White Sox for, like, I think 15 years. This guy was baffled at how I was melting down on the course, so much so that I was like, listen, if you need a case study, like, you need someone to show case in point on what not to do, like, I will sign up to be that guy. He was like, where's the channel and where do I watch? Because this
know who you were.
Oh, no. He was a father-in-law of Charlie. He was like a 50, 60-year-old guy. He had no idea. And he's watching me melt down. And he was like, this is – and the guy's a sports psychologist. I was just like, you can't script this shit, man. I'm one of the weakest, most absolutely mentally inept people of all time. Yeah. Like, it's insane. Like, for me to win something, it's a massive feat. I can't do it 90% of the time because mentally I just beat myself to a pulp.
All right, let's
I don't even know what to say to that.
Mike, you just enjoy your dub and sip your coffee, and it's a good morning to be Mikey B.
I thought you were an excellent golfer when we played.
Well, I played well when I was with you, but that's the difference. I was having fun with my friend with no pressure and nothing. And sometimes the camera comes out, dude, and it's just like,
Yeah, I can't imagine
at this
that.
Point, like, I'm used to the camera. I'm just, my game has never been worse than it is right now. I'm just in absolute shambles. I'm going to go get lessons. I've actually accepted that I need help. Like,
I saw with Grant with you with that train, that arm, it made me realize, well, like, you took, like, if you did what I did and put in the work that I,
the problem is, Bob, is sometimes when you try to change the swing, there's natural regression where you could get worse. And like, the idea of playing worse than what I already play is I don't know mentally if I can handle that. But I try to look at it as like, if I had a clinical, like, mental illness, the right thing to do would be to check in with the psychologist and work on yourself. And my game is the equivalent of a mental illness. And I need to, I can't fix it myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just wearing L's everywhere right now.
Moving it right along. You know, I talked to you guys about this and I don't know what to play with it. Like, I would feel wrong not doing the interview with you guys. Like, I used to love doing the interview so much. I hated doing the podcast on my own. Was worse. Like, you guys coming into the podcast was the greatest thing ever, because it's 20 times more fun. It's 20 times more easier. But I got followed from a girl who was in a case, and I was obsessed with the case in the eyes of, I couldn't take my eyes off it. As a kid, I was 9 years old, and when it happened, I really remember I couldn't sleep in my room for 2 weeks. I had to sleep in my parents' room. I was nine.
At nine?
I couldn't sleep in my room. I was so scared. When this guy
were you sleeping in your parents' bed?
No, well, at the time, I couldn't.
Yeah, but nine, I mean, nine, you're still a little kid, though. Like, Dom is seven. Dom comes out.
I don't think nine is too bad.
I know. It's not like he's 19.
It's not like nine. Yeah, but it's kind of, it's
teetering. Yeah, it's teetering. But it's the story of Elizabeth Smart. Now, I don't know if people know, and obviously going to go on a much more serious note now, but Joe, I told you about it. Mike, I told you about it. I don't know how much you dove into it, but I'm surprised you guys don't remember when it happened. She was abducted from her house at knife point by a complete, total lunatic who, like, said he was a prophet. He was helping work on their house. They were, like, they came from, you know, good money and whatnot, and he took her up into the mountains, and she was abducted for 9 months. They couldn't find her. They thought that she died. They thought that, you know, she was dead. No. The police were given up on the search. You know, and you hear her talk about it. There was helicopters above her when they were looking for her. He had her on this campground. She was abducted, raped, tortured for 9 months. It's horrible. And I was so on this case when this guy's mugshot came out. It was horrifying.
Did they catch the guy?
He's serving two life sentences.
If as a father thinking about that, like, bro, like, that, I would go to prison. I would go to prison. He'd be dead. I'd kill
it's
him.
It's like Hugh Jackman, like, in that movie that Jet always loves. What's the one, the where the daughter's stolen and he wants to kill everybody?
Taken?
Taken's also another one, which is good.
You know, you hear there's a Netflix documentary coming out. But anyway, she followed me and I was like, oh, my God, I got the chills. I couldn't believe
it. Crazy. That's crazy. Crazy.
So I DM'd her.
Prisoners, it's called.
Okay.
Yeah. I said, would you come on? And then I said, and I wrote, I was like, oh, my God, like, that was so stupid of me. I was like, hey, Elizabeth, like, I followed your story for a long time. Would you come on the Brilliantly Dumb Show? And after I sent it,
that is a tough sentence.
That is so stupid.
If you know, it's so bad. That's so bad. It's like, not not 2020. The Brilliantly Dumb Show.
We got Barbara Walters and we got Mikey V and Joey Colgrove.
Yeah,
man. What did she say, Bob?
Turns out her husband, big fan of the program.
Wow.
Big fan of the program. So she's like, don't worry, I've seen it all, whatnot.
But to be honest, Bob, before we started doing the podcast, you were doing a series of interviews that were actually really intriguing, and you were very good at it. You were doing serious, like,
one-on-one interviews, Wolf of Wall Street, Robert what's the guy, the Navy SEAL that you did?
Robert O'Neill.
Yeah. Robert O'Neill. Yeah. And you were crushing him. So like you were going down a different route, but like I thought you were very good at that.
So what'd she say, Bob?
So she said, yeah, I would come on. She's like, before.
Well, where's it gonna live? Where is that content?
Yeah, you know, I was talking to Jed about that. I was like, I just like have to do that. Like I have
put on the Patreon, Bob.
Yeah. executive members only.
I mean, I think for the Brilliant Dumb Show. Oh man. I think for the Brilliant Dumb Show, we
first
just
piece
put it
of
on.
Content I, that's got up there in a decade.
2 years.
Like, is it crazy to put it in the middle of a, you know, to just throw it out
I
there?
I mean,
as a
I would put it as a bonus coverage, yeah. Maybe.
I would be very uncomfortable listening to it. I would just be very uncomfortable of her telling the story. Yeah, but like all I would think about is like.
And by the way, Bob, they're going to do a documentary on Netflix, so it could get picked up, or it could do really well.
We can help them. But she's like a public speaker now. The way she's bounced back, like you would think, there's no getting by that. She's like so understanding of what, and has been able to remove herself.
Yeah.
From that, but she also talked about like when she realized when she was going up into the mountains with this guy, what was going to happen, that she was going to be like, it's horrible. The girl,
how old was she at the time, Bob?
12 or 13, maybe.
Oh, God, bro.
And I remember the surgeon, and they used to bring her, they would put like the hoods and stuff around her. They brought her to like a party. She was the most searched person. Everybody was looking for her. And, oh my God, what she had to go through. It's just, it's insane. There was a time where they brought her, she was at a library with these two people. And
well, Bob, save it for the interview.
Well, yeah, she talks about, but this detective
she's gonna have nothing to talk about.
A detective came up to her and said, "Are you Elizabeth Smart?" And she was so brainwashed, she couldn't say, and she was so afraid to say it next to him. And he said, "She's not gonna remove that. It's part of our religion." And the detective thought it was her. And then he moved on, and she thought she was going to be saved.
God,
when they last thing I'll say, when they after 9 months, when they got her, they said, "Oh my God! Like I think that's her." They were asking, "Is this your name?" It took her an hour to say it because she was so brainwashed from this guy. It's one of the and the way she's bounced back is amazing.
I think you need to do the interview, Bob. And worry about where it lives after or how it does, but like.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you were invested in this and it impacted you in your childhood, then it might be rewarding to do that. Maybe some people watching it will, have been through traumatic experiences as well. Yeah. Maybe it could benefit some people. So I think you do the interview and then worry about later where it lives. But that's crazy. Yeah. That small world that like A, she knew who you are, and B, her husband's a big fan. Like that's crazy.
Of all the people that have like followed us, athletes, Josh Allen of the world, no follow hit me the way that follow hit me. Not even close.
Yeah, that's wild.
Does she have a big following?
No, I the case was so long. There wasn't really social media when it.
Yeah, when
it
he came. Told me the name, I said, "Yeah, I remember." But the only thing I remember was that she was a missing person. I didn't remember any of the details around it. What
I didn't
even
know.
I remember the name only that it was a famous missing persons case, and I didn't know any of the circumstances around it. Other than
people started to think the dad did it, and the dad had nothing to do with it. I mean, they were horrified. It the whole story is just crazy. So, we'll see. We'll see there. Absolutely crazy. Mikey, we'll head over to you for a little break in the action.
Yeah, we want to remind you that today's episode of the Brilliant Dumb Show is brought to you by our good friends over at Quince. Quince, new year, colder days. This is the moment your winter wardrobe really has to deliver. Bottom line, if you're craving a winter reset, start with pieces truly made to last after season after season after season. Quince brings together premium materials, thoughtful design, and enduring quality so you stay warm, you look sharp, and feel your best all season long. Each piece, really nice piece, is made from premium materials by trusted factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production, first and foremost, which is important. So refresh your winter wardrobe with Quince. Go to quince.com/DUMB. That's dumb for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, Joseph Quince.
Yeah, I ordered a couple pieces. They're nice.
Nice pieces.
Oh, see, I got to get them. In fairness, if you ask Lambers, everything through Audio Boom now, I've told to incorporate, to send.
Dude,
to
I purchased a couple of the cashmere sweaters. Like, there's a one hoodie. It's like a more casual, like you could wear it out. But, dude, the stuff is – it's actually – shame on me for not getting their name right, because that place is really good.
That's QUINCE.com/dumb. Free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/dumb.
I'll follow it up by letting the viewers know that this episode is also brought to you by your friends over at ShipStation. When your company is growing fast, order fulfillment can make or break your success. ShipStation's intelligence-driven platform brings order management, rate shopping, inventory, and returns, warehouse systems, comprehensive analytics, all in one place, saving customers 15 hours per week on fulfillment. When you need hours, that's a lot. With ShipStation, everything you need to manage getting orders to customers is in one place. Connect to over 200 sales channels instead of 5 to 7 disconnected tools. Go ahead and try ShipStation free for 60 days with full access to all features. No credit card needed. Go to ShipStation.com and use code DUMB. For 60 days for free. 60 days gives you plenty of time to see exactly how much time and money you're saving on every shipment. So go ahead and check them out. That's ShipStation.com, code D-U-M-B. ShipStation.com, code DUMB. All right.
Very nice, Petey. All right, let's get into our buy or sell. I'll start. I got a quick one. I am selling a team who, look, and the Yankees may end up being in the same spot, but at least they've been trying, bringing in people. I can't, if I was a Red Sox fan right now, wow, I would be so livid. Now, obviously, I'm happy to see Bregman go, but the things that the Red Sox, it's like the Red Sox are a big market team. They're operating like a small market team. The Devers trade, couldn't wrap my head around that, and I don't think Red Sox fan can. Now, you cleared all that cap space. You got Devers out of there, bringing Bregman in. Now you let Bregman walk. Now, granted, the Yankees, that happened with Soto. Looks like it's going to happen with Bellinger. But at least the Yankees have made some big moves and have tried, you know, brought in Fried. Like, the Red Sox, when they let Bregman go now, I mean.
Who did he go to, by the way?
The Cubs are loading up. The Cubs are really good.
I saw the alert this morning that Bregman was gone. I just didn't see where he went.
And it made me so happy, because although he didn't have a huge year, he's a gamer. So, like, going up against Bregman for the Yankees, same thing with Devers. Devers was just a nightmare to deal with. Bregman, too. Bregman, I would want on my team. I don't care his age. Like, he is a fucking gamer. If you're a Red Sox fan, you got to be livid. Same way Yankees fans are livid right now with what theirs. But again, at least the Yankees have made big acquisitions there. You know, I just think, man, would I be upset if I was them after letting Bregman go.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't even know if anybody's going to beat the freaking Dodgers again.
I know.
It's crazy. It's like all for nothing. It's
Blue Jays.
Like,
Blue Jays are going to be a good team again next year. I think the Blue Jays
are going to be good. The AL East, even the Orioles stocked up again. They could be dangerous. And then Bellinger, if he walks now, he'll either be the Dodgers, I think, or the Mets.
What are they doing, Bob? We're not doing anything, Bob.
It's terrible.
Nothing. We're just sitting on our hands. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
It's not the Yankees. I'm telling you, it's not the Yankees of old. They care about the bottom line now. It's not just money doesn't matter. That's now the Mets. I wish it was the Yankees. That is the Mets. Not to say the Yankees won't spend, but they try and stay under the luxury tax, and the Mets don't care. The Mets just spend. Same thing with the Dodgers. It's not the Yankees of old.
No. Nope. Not at all.
Let's go over to PDD.
I mean, this is a pretty honest sell here. There's no make no bones about it. Now, I'm not just going to sell Matt LaFleur. I'm going to sell, and mostly, Rich Bisaccia, the special teams coach for the Packers, to watch. And I mentioned some of the losses that we've had, onside kicks,
kicking problems. What we have had, we had issues with McManus all year. For them to continue to bring this guy, whether he was super injured, what, I don't care what the story is. At some point, you got another kicker waiting in the helm who was kicking well. You didn't give him the chance. Then you lose this game for all intents and purposes because of your kicker. It's just the special teams of this organization is in shambles. You let the Bears run the ball on a punt return to the fucking 30. Like, they're every game, it feels like they make glaring mistakes on special teams. And I don't remember the last time our special teams won us a game or was special or did something. This guy needs to go. He is just, it's in shambles, dude. Like, between not getting onside kicks to the kicker issues, like, the guy is a problem. And now Matt LaFleur, I will say he's a good coach. I really do believe it. I just think he is in a position now where he might get fired because he just, like, you lose like that in that succession. I don't know if you can recover from it mentally for the team, but I can admit he is a good coach. And like Mikey said, if he does not come back on, he will find himself a job. But this Brascia, the guy needs to go. That is an absolute problem. It's been a problem over the Packers for years. Their special teams has been a disaster.
Before we head to Mikey, I agree with what Mikey said at, like, LaFleur. If he leaves now, then he gets a coach just like Harbaugh. What I was going to sell is, sometimes I get it, you just need a change. But the fact that these guys just get rid of this coach is like, if you're the Ravens and you're going to fire Harbaugh, like, it hasn't been working out, you know he's going to be the top candidate.
Yeah.
Who are you then going to replace him with?
That's the
thing. That's going to be any better.
Well, part of the problem is when you have a coach for a long time, right? Like, the Packers, you know, they, you know, whether you like McCarthy or not, he won us a Super Bowl. But then at the end of the tenureship, it's like Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. You almost sometimes need a changing of the guard. Like, it's like you can only have the same coach for so long. It's like at some point, like, it's good. Like, the allure is going to wear off. And when you do bring in a new coach in, like, hate or love Ben Johnson, the guy has transformed that team. It's new energy. It's so I do agree with you. Like, Harbaugh has been in with the Ravens and he's been great for how long, but sometimes you just need to, you got to move on. You got to do a change, especially when you're not making the playoffs and you're losing in the fashion that they have now back-to-back years. I do get
the thing,
it.
The thing with Harbaugh is, like, there's this argument that his record in the playoffs without Lamar is a winning record, and his record in the playoffs with Lamar is a losing record. And then it goes down into the nitty gritty of, well, is it Lamar? Is it Lamar? And you can't do certain things with Lamar, or is it just the coach? And it's like, again, it goes back and forth. Again, I think as soon as Harbaugh got fired, it was like, it's now a mad dash. I feel like whoever wants to get him first, he's the guy. Everybody wants him. If LaFleur gets fired today, let's just say in theory or tomorrow, he'd be the next guy over Stefanski. I think he'd be over Stefanski, in my opinion. I mean, Stefanski, okay, but, like, he hasn't brought his team to the playoffs every year. I understand LaFleur's record in the playoffs, but even still, he gets them there every year. Guy's a playoff team every year. I just think he'd be the number two. Him and Harbaugh would be 1A, 1B if he gets fired.
Yeah.
Instantly.
I agree, Joe. There is a changing of the guard when it's been for so long. But then there's, like, even these colleges, it's like they fire these guys. And then it's like, all right, well, who the fuck are you going to bring in?
College is a different story. It's crazy. College.
Yeah, football. That's not going to be like a full-blown rebuild. And I think a lot of these times when these coaches get fired, especially guys who have won a Super Bowl, then you have an appreciation for them, like, years. Like Tom Coughlin, people were after his throat when they wanted him gone. He's like a New York hero. And same thing with McCarthy, Joe. Like, people wanted him gone. Years past, you don't want a Super Bowl. Then people look back, Joe Girardi, Mikey, they wanted him out of town.
Yeah.
And then you look back and they won your Super Bowl. And then there's like a appreciation.
Would you take Girardi today, Bob, over Boone?
What's that?
Would you take Girardi today over Boone?
You don't want the answer to that.
All right.
A coach and manager is like the ultimate what have you done for me lately.
I'm in the 1% that I think would want Boone. I still believe him.
He does. Bob does like
him. Bob's a loyal guy. He's a loyal guy.
I don't think the issue really is so much with Boone. I think Hal Steinbrenner likes baseball. I don't think he loves baseball. I don't think he doesn't have the passion for the game like his father did. It's obvious. That's why he's cheap. That's like everything Bob said. Luxury taxes. That never was a thing with the Yankees. George Steinbrenner would die before he let the Yankees get outbid by somebody. He would die.
When I was at fantasy camp, which is a which is a tough thing to say. The players were telling me about George, and the difference between George to what they hear is the case now, and the difference. Yeah. And it was win at all costs. And now he cares about the bottom line, wants to know, like, it's just totally different.
Yep.
But nobody feels bad for us, Mike.
No, they hate the Yankees. And right, I get that. It's the same thing. Like any team that's had success, I get it. I get it.
Yeah,
I totally get it.
No Mikey B, buy or sell?
I got a quick buy, Bob, and then I'm going to sell. The quick buy is Dom started watching it this week. I've never seen it. I've heard of it. I've never seen it. Phineas and Ferb. This Phineas and Ferb show is unbelievable, man. It is one of the best cartoons. And look, I give credit where credit's due, because when you have kids, Joe, you'll see soon when Lucas starts watching shows, like, you have to sit through some insufferable shit. There is shit out there that's such dog shit.
Phineas and Ferb.
Oh man, is it good? Oh, is it good? It is fucking entertaining. And as a parent, like, you just look for something that's tolerable. This takes it like above a level of tolerable. I think I just missed this. I think it was like I didn't watch it as a kid. I think I must have missed it by several years. Yeah, that's it. Really good. Perry the Platypus, really good. Really good stuff, man. It's unbelievable, Bob. I think you had I want to say that you had mentioned it. I don't know if you put it in your top five cartoons, but I could have swore that you talked about the show once. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, because I haven't seen this one. I know of it, but I haven't seen this one.
Okay, it's really good. That's my quick buy. Shout out to Phineas and Ferb. And then my sell this week, I had a sell on... Yeah, every time I watch a movie or a TV show and they do a scene in a bar or a restaurant, I'm going to say this. Every time they do it, I don't know if people notice this. Maybe I'm just insane. I might have been in the clouds and maybe it was an overly observing thing. The crowd in the bar or restaurant is always the perfect size crowd. It's never empty in the bar. It's never packed in the bar. It's always like a perfect amount of people. And that never happens in real life. Whenever you go in someplace, I feel like it's always mobbed or there's nobody in it. It's not realistic. And I noticed it the other day and I said it to Holly, and even she was like, you know, that's pretty good. She's like, I never really thought of it. They need to start realizing that you don't go into a bar and there's like, you know, just like there's enough seats where you could sit down comfortably. It's never like that. It's either packed or there's nobody in it. I think these TV shows, production companies need to start adhering to what is real life, either packed or leave it empty. There's no in between. It's not possible. It always
empty's almost better, to be honest.
Yep. Yep.
What makes me sad? Like, my dad went to a place the other day, like, when you know a place is getting ready to go, they're not going to last, that they're going to go out of business. Like, my dad went to a place Friday night in Jupiter in season, and there's just nobody there. That kind of makes me sad.
Restaurant
not
business.
Bob's is food not good?
They tried to do, like, a Blackbird type thing, and it just, oh, no. Man. I mean, I went there once, and it just wasn't great. Not Bob's bagels.
I'm going to be door dashing, like, $100 worth of bagels after this is over. We talk so much about bagels. I'm going to have to just go nuts with
Mike,
bagels.
Mike, do you think, like, so the Bob's Bagels guy asked me, he's like, do the guys, like, can you get the guy's favorite sandwich to then put on the menu?
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel like for your guys is a normal order, but, like, then, like, I want a fat Perez. Like, Perez said his is, like, peanut butter or something. And it's like, I don't know if the name of the bagels are just ones that you would want to have on the menu, or sure. Do you actually do something that's really
the fat peanut?
The fat peanut.
Yeah, I mean, my go-to sandwich would be like it would be like sausage. Honestly, like, I love a Taylor ham egg and cheese, but it would be sausage patty egg and cheese with a hash brown on a toasted egg everything bagel.
That's great.
That's my go-to.
That's what would yours be, Pete?
I don't know. I like what Mikey said, but I also like just a classic, like, toast.
You're a Taylor ham guy, though, no, Joseph?
Yeah, I've actually at Bob's Club, the guy who is a new chef now at the Bob's Golf Club, he's from, like, the Northeast, so, like, he brought over, like, the Taylor ham, and Mike, they did, like, it was really good.
Nobody else gets it, Bob?
He does it just for me. It's really neat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's won Bob over. I mean, but I do like that a lot. But I also like just a classic toasted everything bagel with like a scallion cream cheese.
I don't mean to interrupt, Bob. I got to say this because the sandwich was so outstanding that
you got you know it me, again?
I don't do food reviews. Like I'm like did the Frosties a little bit, but I'm going back to this place, Velardo's in Nutley. This Buffalo Chicken Caesar sandwich, bro, was Bob. I'm not exaggerating. It was one of the greatest things I've ever eaten in my entire life. I'm not exaggerating in any way, shape, or form ever. It's unbelievable.
Now, are you worried if you go back, it's not going to live up to the
hype? I am worried. That's a little scary. I am worried, but I had people telling they went there and they're like, bro, this sandwich is just it's unbelievable. So now I have the guy's number. We're texting, and it might be he's taking it and putting it on the permanent menu because it was a special sandwich.
Wow!
Now it's going on permanent menu. It might be named Brilliantly Dumb Show Sandwich. We're in the works with that. Yeah,
they may have to get the naming rights from Telurgio's though.
No,
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you had a funny line, though, when you said the sandwich was so good that you didn't want to eat a chip to wash it out.
Put the chips back.
I picked up a bag of truffle chips. They looked delightful. I was very prepared to eat them. And after I ate the sandwich, I just put them back. And, like, I almost, like, it was like I bowed out. Like I don't, like, you're good. I'm done. Like, this is, I don't want to ruin anything that just happened. Sure. It was so good. It was so
That's
good.
Great. So that's good. Awesome. All right, let's keep it on moving. We're gonna head on over. I think it's time for the top five, unless there's anything else.
Bob.
Man, that's terrible. Sorry, boys. Fuck.
Joe must be prepared.
All right, ask Bob. I am on just a fucking amount of texts I get from like old high school friends about this.
Does the big guy text you? What's his name?
What's
the big
that?
Fella, the big fella texts you. Does he text you?
Huggy.
Yeah, Huggy. Love Huggy. Big Huggy guy. Yeah, I like Huggy.
He's been wilding out. I've been hearing, but which should be no surprise. All right, let's get into the ass, Bob.
I'll start, Bob. I think you're going to get this one, so maybe it'll be a bounce back. But I think it's a question worth asking. I think it's actually good. This week for the Ask Bob segment, Bob, could you let me know there are Roman numerals that stand for numbers? What does the Roman numeral L stand for?
Oh, dude. That's a tough one, Joe. I mean, it's not tough, but I thought you were going to go with like X. I thought you were going to give him X because X is like, I feel like at least that's like he's got a shot. L, you know.
Mikey, this
is. I know, Joe. I know. I hear you.
You know Mikey?
Yeah, I do. Only because of the Super Bowls. But yeah, I do.
I don't know L and I don't know X.
It's in recent Super Bowls. You don't know X?
Well, X is worse.
Yeah, X is so much worse.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. But it's a number, so you got to guess.
One.
No, that would just be one. That would just be Roman.
Isn't it numeral. I is one. X is actually 10. X is and 10. L is 50, Bob.
That's why Super Bowl.
That's why I thought 50, the Super whatever. Bowls. That's why you
thought the Super Bowls. Yeah, I
didn't
maybe,
think
yeah.
that it would be a tough question, But with the Super Bowls, you see, it's like LXVII.
Yeah, but the Super Bowls, who it's like, you know, who's like, oh, Super Bowl IV, like that Super Bowls. I don't care about the number of the Super Bowl. I care sure. about who wins.
Now, my question, I think Bob's going to get this question. I really, really do think he's going to get
man,
this question.
Come on, man. Don't set me up for two in a row.
I'm not. Right Bob, now. Okay, what gas do humans breathe in that plants need? Humans breathe it in. Process it, and plants need it when we breathe it out.
Oxygen.
No, Bob.
It's not oxygen. Carbon monoxide.
No, Bob. That's close. It's carbon. We were looking for carbon dioxide. You had the correct first part of the element in the carbon aspect, but you
and the eyed.
Yeah, and the eyed.
Yo, it's just so bad, man.
Yeah, I do love like, you, though, bro.
It's so bad, bro. So bad.
When he said carbon, I thought he was going to get it, but then we got monoxide. It was like Monungi with a with the carbon Monungi.
It's not funny.
I'm in for a rough week because now it's like whenever I botch the ass Bob, that's all I'm seeing on socials is that, and then the grand video. I'm
dude, by the way, there's accounts with like very, very few followers, and they repost ass Bob stuff, and it just goes fucking nuclear.
Yeah, it goes viral.
It goes there's nuclear. Ass Bob
accounts now too on TikTok.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. It's
I'm not on the talk like that, so I don't know, but yeah, that's wild.
It's bad, wild. Man.
Cheat code.
God. Yeah, do me a favor though, moving forward. Don't ever start a question with I think you're gonna get
I really
we're rooting for you though.
I know,
but then it makes it that much dumber. All right,
I'm sorry.
Like just ask the question.
All right.
That's fine. I'm sorry.
I mean, look, I got nobody to, like it's really, really bad. It's really, really bad.
Okay.
So both you guys knew those answers easy.
Yeah.
Well, the carbon monoxide is carbon dioxide. That's the process of photosynthesis.
I just don't know what to blame. Like, I don't know. Obviously, it's me, well, but like,
there's some
I blame I blame the system, Bob.
Yeah, me too.
I blame the system.
Hey, you know what, Bob?
It's not on you, buddy.
Thanks. Just goes to show how great your story is, man.
I agree with that. I think that's the point in all
that's
of this.
The key takeaway here.
Yes,
man.
I agree, Joe. I agree. I agree.
All right, it's brutal. All right, let's go into the ass Bob. Today's ass Bob is going to be.
You mean the top five, Bob?
Oh boy, have I been just terrible today, bro.
I thought he wanted to run it back, Michael.
Oh my God.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Today's top five.
Yo.
Yeah. Today's top five is going to be top five current MLB blunt rotation.
It's so current now?
Yeah, it was always
it was all time.
I thought so too, dude.
No, it's always current.
It's always current. All right.
I'm sorry. Me it was too. Always current.
Okay.
If you look it up, no doubt about it. I almost want to give you guys some time. So I came first last week. I think Joe was too.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, I was last. Yeah, I was last. I don't know I don't know. I know I was last. That I know.
Yeah, in the sauces, and I thought that could go up for anybody. And Joe going one on the Chick-fil-A, I think was the right move because I would have gone Chick-fil-A too. I think that was the safe play. Raising Cane's is just they're on their way up. I do need to give a shout out to my friends over at Arby's because that horsey sauce should have been on there, and I apologize to them and their dear friends. I just want to give you, I'm trying to buy some time for you guys.
I'm going to be an event for them
in New York. So maybe I could stop by and see you the night before.
When?
The 22nd.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Let's go into the top five. Top five current MLB blunt rotation. Who you want in your blunt rotation? I am going to take the third pick, and D-Man, you're up. What would you like to do? Two or one? One or two?
I don't really know if there's a number. I'll go number one.
Okay, and then that's Mikey with the two.
I'm going to go this guy just because I would love to hear the stories with the gambling and with everything else, and the guy's an enigma. I'll go Shohei Ohtani at one. I think that like, this guy, there's a lot to be seen with him. I would love to pick his brain. I would need a translator with me, but I think that would make the blunt session even more enjoyable.
Also, too, to tell your grandkids that you smoked a blunt with Pretty Shohei
cool.
Ohtani.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I think it's the right play.
Yeah, super cool. All right, I'm going to take Vlad Jr. I'm going to take Vladdy
God
Jr.
Yeah. Damn, man.
Yep. You had him pegged early, Bob? You had Vladdy pegged early?
Oh, that would have been my one. Yeah, it's a great play. I'm going to go Aaron Judge. And I'm going to go... Mookie Betts.
All right. Yeah, give me the big dumper. I'm going to go Cal Riley.
Great nickname.
Okay, I'm going to go with Paul Skeens.
It's a great pick.
I think there's a lot of stuff I'd like to ask him. And then wrapping it back around, I'm going to go Bryce Harper.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Give me Juan Soto.
Trader.
Yeah. Big time. I'd love to pick his brain on that and get his true opinion on what he, I mean, I think it would be a pretty straightforward answer, but.
Give me Fernando Tatis Jr. And give me Cody Bellinger.
Give me Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
I have two now.
Yeah.
Two to you, Pete.
Your last two, Joseph.
I'm going to go with Manny Machado. And then on the way back, I'm going to go with Jazz Chisholm. I think he would be
a
fun one.
Oh, okay, last one.
D, I thought you have a powerful first three.
Yeah, no.
He's very powerful, first three.
He's good. He's good, man. I'm going to go with Scooble. Tariq Scooble.
I'm going to go with, and I need confirmation that he's still playing. Okay. I know he was last year. Maybe he retired. I want to go with Andrew McCutchen at five, but I need confirmation that he is not retired.
He's a free agent now. He played for the Pirates, I think, last season.
So you guys okay with McCutchen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Sound like it.
Let me just make sure, but I think, it's January 2023, 2024, he re-signed. Yeah, I'm good with that. Yeah.
Don't love my list. Don't love it.
No, Joe's going to win
this
week. I think
it's between you two. I think D-Man, let me hear them again, Mikey.
Yeah, Joe's got Ohtani, Skeens, Bryce Harper, Machado, and Jazz Chisholm. Very powerful list. I have Vlad Jr., Cal Riley, Soto, Freddie Freeman, and Tariq Skubal. Bob has Judge, Mookie Betts, Fernando Tatis, Bellinger, and McCutchen.
It's not as bad as I thought. I think D-Man has the edge.
He's got a good – yeah, he's
got – I think D-Man's got the edge. The Shohei pick and then – grabbing Skeens was big.
Yeah.
I thought about getting him instead of Mookie. But time will tell. We'll see. Fellas, very, very solid edition there of the Brilliantly Dumb Show. We appreciate all you guys. Please be sure to hit that subscribe button, like the whole nine yards. Thanks, as always. Awesome episode. Long episode. The Brilliantly Dumb Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.